Welcome to the Traffic Masters Show. Each week, Traffic Masters explores the lifeblood of your business, generating traffic, turning visitors into leads, and conversion strategies. Mastering traffic and conversion allows you to grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Traffic Masters. Sorry that we're getting started just a few minutes late for those listening live. We have got another fantastic show lined up for you guys. We have my co-host, Jack Comfrey, joining us, and I am Gina Gaudio-Graves. Together, we are the Deans of Directions University and the co-founders of Divizio, the all-new affiliate network for people in all niches. And Jack, with a few glitches in technology, I think we got us all together finally.
Excellent. Well, we have an awesome guest today. His name is Howard Piano, and he shares how to outsource successfully with us today. So, Howard, welcome. We're going to talk a lot about outsourcing today, I gather.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jack and Gina. Good
Sorry for the
here.
Delay.
And, you know, Jack, one of the things you're going to love about Howard, do you know Howard personally, Jack?
Yep. We go way back.
Yeah, so do Howard and I. And just so everybody else knows, one of the other things other than marketing that you guys have in common is music. So I hope we'll get into at least a little bit of a conversation about how music relates to marketing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to have a concert here at the end.
That'd be awesome.
So, yeah, well, man, it's really great to get to talk to you. You're probably one of the few people like us that aren't on a boat right now. How did that happen?
Well, I was on a cruise for 6 years, off and on, and always had a great time. However, they tend to, you know, they'll do Eastern Caribbean, they'll do Western Caribbean, back to Eastern Caribbean. So, I've been to the ports many times. I've been on the ship. It was just enough. I just saw everybody the night before, and that was really the big draw for me, is hanging out with my friends and networking. So that got accomplished. So that was good.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've met your first person who has had enough with the Caribbean. Enough with it. Just done. I'm out. It's too pretty. It's too beautiful. The sand is too white. Yeah,
well,
I understand.
When you live in South Florida, every day is like so.
Right. You're already spoiled. What do you care?
That's right.
Are you still in
Indianapolis, Jack?
I'm very close to Indianapolis. I'm in Richmond.
Okay. So you guys snowed in now, or?
No, it skips us. There's a Mother Nature's got a boycott on Richmond and our county. We should have gotten hit as hard as anybody else. It didn't make any sense. The map was weird. It looked like it was purposefully skipping us. So, no, it's just rainy today.
Okay, good, good, good. All right, fire away, fire away.
Well, so outsourcing, I mean, everything in your description for the show today is about outsourcing. What's going on? Give us a little breakdown of what's happening, what's getting you out of bed in the morning these days.
Okay. Well, going back about to 2007, I sort of discovered outsourcing. I had gotten into some online marketing for about a year or two prior and was really getting bogged down with the technical issues and all the different skill sets that you need to mount an online business. And I read somewhere about Elance and have people do it for just a fraction of, what you'd pay in the U.S. And it was like, wow, really? And I delved into it. And, as a business owner, I had a music agency, and we, bands for, weddings and country clubs and corporate events and this and that. So I was used to having a team, and I had a, office staff, and it just never dawned on me that I could outsource my online business. It just didn't even occur to me. So it was a thrilling discovery to be able to get all the stuff off my plate that I hated to do. And and of course the redundant and, you know, things that are not really worth our time as online business owners or offline business owners. So that's how I sort of discovered that. And you'll notice in the, you know, internet marketing niche, there are certain people that sort of have a corner on different aspects. There's copywriters, there's people doing the Facebook ads, there's people doing pay-per-click, and they're sort of gurus in that realm. And at that point, there was nobody had the outsourcing niche. So mm-hmm. I decided, hey, it might as well be me. And under the tutelage of, you know, the late, great Sylvie Fortin and, you know, various other folks, I decided to become the outsourcer, or as I say in my character voice, the outsourcer. I decided to go to, at the time, Armin Morin was doing the big seminar, and I got a Harry Potter wizard hat, and I had an airbrushed purple T-shirt, and I went with my camcorder, and I went to the big seminar, and I would sort of ambush all the speakers to get their best tip on outsourcing. And then in post-production, I added smoke and lightning and sound effects to make it a little more fun. You know, outsourcing is a bit of a mm-hmm. dry topic, so I made it a little more fun. And it worked out pretty good for a while, but I found out really outsourcing was not as sexy as, you know, push a button and money comes out of your computer kind of thing. So yeah. Because people would look at it as an expense rather than a way to scale your business and really enjoy your business more, so when you're offloading those tasks that you just didn't like to do or didn't have the skill set. You know, I still maintain that if you know how to outsource, that's the only skill set you need. You know, you could just literally outsource everything. You know? So so that's an important skill set. So after a while, I was the outsourcer for a few years, and that was a really sticky brand. For years after I sort of stopped doing it, people would recognize me and say, oh, you're the outsourcer. So it was really a sticky brand, and it was a good lesson in branding. So I just kept the label, and I just still call myself the outsourcer. And now I've more or less have refined it into adding in, how to systemize, how to delegate, automate. So those things all work together. I couldn't come up with a better acronym than SAD. This is the SAD method, S-A-D, systemize, automate, and delegate. Okay, so it's the SAD method until I come up with something better.
I might be able to help you with that. That might not be the very best one, but we can do something, yeah.
Right. But it gets the message across. And as it relates to traffic, it's changed a lot. Back in 2009, it was a whole different story. We were hiring guys to do our link building, and we hired, guys to do all the various aspects of getting traffic. And nowadays, it's sort of changed more to hiring services. For instance, link building, you know, we don't have, or at least I don't have guys anymore just sitting around building links. Now there's automated mm-hmm. tools. Now there's services like Link Emperor or something. You know, you just cut a check and they, you know, they get you all your links and they drip it and do it is necessary to make it work. So it's changed a lot over the years, and of course you have sites like Fiverr that have cropped up that now it's very, very easy for anybody to just sort of delve in without any risk of a lot of money and frustration and whatnot. So Fiverr has really been a game changer in the outsourcing world.
Yeah.
And I've been doing local marketing for the last several years, And my first major product was outsourcing for offline consultants. You know, a lot of people, you know, were not really considering outsourcing because it was an expense. Most of the people, you know, depending on who you talk to, anywhere between 70 and 90% of people in this space are not really making money. And
right.
If you're not making money, you have to be making money to outsource and have that be a return on your investment. So that was a situation which made it difficult to really, you know, create big products around outsourcing. Although John Reese had done it pretty well several years ago, and with his Outsource Force product. But the consulting, the offline consulting, and that by definition is really just helping local businesses with their internet marketing, and that's a very popular space, and it's a lucrative space, and the offline consultants really were people that needed a steady flow of tasks done because their clients, you know, required, you know, whatever service you were providing for them. So you really needed a team and a system in place to accomplish that. So I created a product called Offline Cash Blueprint, which created systems and training for outsourcers to do all the tasks that were required of offline consultants to provide services for their clients. So that I piggybacked off of Howie Schwartz's product, and this is going back to 2009, where it was sort of first, you know, first became a popular topic, you know, amongst this the internet marketing niche. You know, Kevin Wilkie and Howie were pretty much the pioneers in this space. So I sort of piggybacked off of Howie's product, and that was my first main, you know, big product there, and you know, but now it's just it's totally different outsourcing. But for as far as outsourcing traffic, you know, now there's all, you know, kinds of services that you could outsource your pay per click and outsource your link building and outsource your social signals. And they have social media managers and. So there's a lot of ways to take that off your plate, but you still need to systemize the processes that you use or whoever it is that, you know, whatever business model people are pursuing, there are more specific tasks. You know, if you're doing a Shopify store, you know, you'll need a certain set of tasks, and as opposed to if you're doing, you know, local consulting or affiliate marketing. So there's everybody's got a little something different going on, and you really need to look at exactly what those tasks are, sort of quantify them, write them down, make videos on how to do it, et cetera, and you so that you can hand it off, and hence the, you know, the systemize, you know, then you look at what you can automate, and, you know, there's a lot of tools out now to automate a lot of processes, and then the rest of the stuff you delegate. So that's sort of the process that I use when looking at a new business model or you know, looking at a set of tasks or a process is that method.
Yeah. So it really takes a lot of organization on your part to get yourself set up to then take it easy and turn it over to, you know, to the delegation.
Yeah.
After you got automated, after you got systems, you got to get those two things before you can really delegate effectively. And if you're on a tight budget, you got to make sure you hand that off just right. You know, you got to
exactly.
You got to get it all set up and then go. Because it's, you know, sometimes I think there's people who have people who've been working with them for a while, or they might want to make a switch in a team where they're going to have two salaries there for a second while they're outsourcing and onboarding that outsourcer and. You know, the people who have been doing stuff for you, because I think
right.
A lot of people don't a lot of people have people and they just pick them up over the years and everything else, and they want to start doing something new, or, you know, I don't think anybody, when they really look at the outsourcing thing, thinks that there's any problem with it on the surface. I think that when people get right down and dirty with it, it's like, all right, how am I going to actually do this? And for you to have a system, you know, just to let them understand, you know, there's a process for this and there's an easy way to do it. Even if the work is hard, there's an easy way to understand what needs to be done. You know, get those videos done, get your processes done and go. So where are people picking up really good help these days? Is there anything new? Used to be onlinejobs.ph, and then there were some folks who were making recommendations of their own. They have their own shops over in the Philippines now, and you more go over and say to the shop, I need this stuff, and then they just take care of the actual person or persons who are going to do it. What's the practice these days?
The deal with onlinejobs.ph is that that's basically a job board. You don't really have, you know, they self-assess their skills, which, you know, it's like a resume.
Yeah.
Did anybody ever inflate their, you know, resume? Hello.
Yeah.
and they're not there. You don't really see buyer feedback. You know, that's the main thing is that, you know, if you go to a site like Upwork, which used to be Odesk, you'll see there's buyer feedback. You'll see people give them ratings. They'll make comments. So you get it. You can filter out people. For instance, like you know, you only want to, you know, do a search and filter out people who have a 4.5 out of 5 star rating. So you've already eliminated a lot of the deadbeats, you know, or people that, you know, couldn't deliver. You know, not to disparage anybody, you got to start somewhere. But, you know, the buyer feedback was a big thing. Otherwise, you're getting people that may or may not be trained well. You know, so that was an issue. You know, there are some outsourcing companies that say, oh, yeah, the guys are trained and blah, blah. No, they're not trained. I get them and, you know, they'd totally be not trained. I would have to, and on basic stuff. So, you know, you can't have one of the misconceptions is you get a VA and they can, a VA virtual assistant, and they can do everything. You know, you find one person, oh, they're going to do everything for you. No, you know, usually they'll have, you know, one or two skill sets. When I first started, I picked somebody that had tech skills and could also do some graphics, you know, graphics enough to do website headers, you know, a meme or an image of some kind for a blog post, that kind of thing. You know, they didn't have to be like super designers. So usually you'll find a website tech person that could do some writing. Generally, I like U.S. writers, you know, better for most things. You know, you being a content desk person, right? You know the value of good content. Your content's got to be good. You can't just spray, you know, mediocre content out there and or spun content and expect to really have sticky website and get repeat visitors and really build a brand. You know, nowadays it's a different business.
Right.
So, you know, the thing is people say, well, who should your first hire be? You know, some people say, oh, it should be your customer support. Well, you know, if you need help in your customer support, you've already got products going out. You've already gone through a fairly complicated run of skills that you've already got done yourself. You know, creating your product and doing the marketing, writing your copy. You've already done all that stuff, and you need help with your customer support. So most people are not in that. I would say most people get stuck at the technical aspects. You know, they don't really know good copywriting, whatnot. So I would say, you know, look at your business, look at what you need. Start with what you really hate doing and what you're really weak at. That's because it gives you a psychological benefit right off the bat, you know, because you get the stuff off your plate that you don't like to do. and or you're weak at doing. You know, you don't want to spend hours trying to get a website up in this where you could just spend, you know, 15 minutes writing a job description and, you know, send it out at 8 o'clock at night and wake up the next morning and it's done.
Yeah.
You know, there's no better feeling than that. You know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So let's give them something to chew on here, and give us a success story. Give us something that, because you've had so many years in this, you've had so many people you've worked with, and you can choose one of your own, or you can choose a client. But give us what this looks like on the ground and the results. So you hooked somebody up with all the right things they needed to do to get outsourced and everything. You know, what did their business look like before, and what did it look like after for one of your good ones?
Well, I would say personally, I'd say it's really been helpful in the consulting realm, doing for local businesses. I found that when I first started, I would really take on any client in any niche with any service. If they needed something, I could do it. And I figured I could always outsource it. And what really happened was, you know, I'd get clients who were all in different verticals. You know, I'd get a plumber, and I'd get a doctor, and I'd get a, you know, pharmacist. And, so I'd get all kinds of different. So I would have to research the niche and understand what their customers or patients wanted and needed, and get the messaging right. And maybe they had a good reputation, but they weren't ranking. Maybe they were ranking mm-hmm. and they had a bad reputation. You know, so there was all different kinds of things. So I wound up, it was just a struggle because there was no set way of, A, getting and filtering and getting the right clients that I wanted that had the money. If you have a client that's a pizza place, you know, what's the value of their customer walking in the door? $5, maybe $10, you know, whereas a plastic surgeon, you know, it's maybe $4,000 or $5,000 a customer's worth for them. So obviously you want to go with a customer that can afford your services and understands the value of your services. So going from just scattershot, whoever walked in the door, kind of a client, I was a little more deliberate on the niches I wanted to do. So I had started up some systems as far as prospecting and closing and nurturing clients, because sometimes it takes a while to get them to, put the name on the dotted line there. So you had to nurture them, get them to like you, trust you, know you, that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. Some of that you can automate. Some of that I'd have to, get on the phone or meet them networking or whatever. But there are things that, like lead pages, like sites that needed to be put up, like autoresponders, sequences that needed to be written, things like that. And so that was something that I delegated. And then you needed, instead of trying to do 20 or 30 different services for all different kinds of businesses, I started focusing on, two or three. And so that way I could systemize, the people that came in, onboarding them, following up with them, and then fulfilling the service. I was never fond of fulfilling the service, doing SEO, and, wasn't the most fun thing for me to do. So I started, I actually had, team in place to do the fulfillment. So, so I was more in, relegated to marketing and sales. And that's how my business changed as I started systemizing and assessing, okay, what do I need? Where am I going? And then putting processes in place and saying, okay, this I can outsource, this I can't, because there's certain things that you shouldn't outsource and certain things you should outsource, when it comes to networking, making deals, joint ventures, that you don't really want to outsource. I mean, you could have somebody who is, following up a lead or setting appointments, that's fine. But sometimes, and you can have a sales team, and you know, you could do that. But a lot of the business, my business was built around my mojo. You know, the impression that, you know, that I would give them that I am the expert, I'm the authority, that would make them more comfortable. It wasn't just a company, and here's, you know,
right,
you're getting a receptionist calling you, you know, to try and close a $5,000 a month client. That wasn't going to work too well. So there are things that you should do, things that you don't do if you're an expert or a guru in a certain area. You're the guru, you're the brand. You need to be creating your content. You know, you can do a content creation and then have an outsourcer take your content and repurpose it in various ways. You know, make a video out of it, a podcast out of it, create articles, a press release, etc. So they can repurpose it, but you will be responsible for the main content that you're doing.
What do you think about, you know, outsourcing 101, you've got stuff you need to do, you got stuff you need other people to do. You make a list of systems and you automate and you delegate those things to the people who are not you, that
right,
are easily passed on and all of that. So let's call that 101. Now, 201 might be to use leverage. And you said earlier, you know, your mojo is what gets people in the door, and I totally agree with that. You know, it gets you have to get the attention, you have to get the clients to know who you are so they know they're in good hands. It's virtually impossible to just pretend like picture the last time you got if you were a local business, the last time they got a Yellow Pages, I don't even know if those guys still exist, but ad for we'll take care of all your marketing, and how impersonal that is. And if you've ever done anything like this before with local marketing, you've got new clients who have been through that already. It sucks, and I don't even know how they made any sales. But there's a leverage point that you can use to, let's say, traffic and notoriety and authority in your market is the paramount concern, which it is, and I don't care what business you're in, that is the paramount concern for every business. It's traffic, authority, and influence. So, yes, you have to be the one who talks and makes new connections with JVs, and JVs can just be people who send you notoriety for in exchange for something awesome. But what you can use your outsourcers for is to help make that thing that's awesome more awesomer. So one of the things that I teach people in Bending the Web is, you know, it's kind of silly to try to build your own presence on the web from the ground up, stealing everybody else's attention away from their lists, which is really hard. Most people don't talk about that with list building, but somebody's already got the people you're going after on their list, and they'd like to keep them. And they worked really hard and spent a lot of money and took a lot of time to get those people on that list. If you're in any industry, there's a lot of crossover. It's not brand new people. It's not a brand new list. These aren't people who are popping out just to consume your products. So we always look at everybody like competition. You know, it's a novice business move, a business person's move to go, oh, God, look at all these people at competition, but it's a really good niche. I'm going into it. I'm going to do it. I want to build it all from the ground up, one person at a time following me on Facebook, one person at a time getting on my list, and in 3 or 4 decades, I'll be really killing it, you know. And it really feels like that. When you're working like that, you feel like you've been doing it for decades, and it's only been 5 minutes. It's not even lunchtime yet. So What could they do to use outsourcers to make some experience for somebody who's already got all of that traffic? I always say the web's so overly built and redundant. The amount of bandwidth that we all buy that hardly any of us use all of, it's just sitting there, right? And the hosting accounts and the, you know, the websites, and we always try to come up with a different domain that hasn't been captured yet, and we pretend like we're just pioneers out there having to do it, cut down the trees, build a log cabin ourselves. Except there's a lot of people out there who came before you who have all of the traffic you want. They have 50,000 Facebook followers. They have a 25,000-person targeted buyers list. They have all of this stuff, and you're going to wait for 9 months, 1 year, 2 years before you have that, before you can have what they've got. You covet what they have. I wish I was there already. Wish I had that guy's stage to stand on. And then the bell rings and the lights go on. It's like, wait a minute, I could go stand on that dude's stage right now and experience what it's like to be that guy right now. If only I could get him something that would ingratiate him towards me and make, you know, have him just mention me in front of those 50,000 Facebook followers and have him let me guest post on his site and have him mail something for me on his list. Why, I could have the same exact experience right now as a brand new business with none of those things of my own and start to bring in those things of my own, because your list will start building, your Facebook fans will start building, your sales will certainly start building, and you'll get to feel the power of that person's ability to just open up his email, send something out, and start making cash. But nobody knows how to do that. Nobody even knows that that's even a thing, but you do favors for people, right? So what if you took your outsourcer and have them take a piece of that dude's content and split it up 15 different ways and spread it out? I mean, your outsourcer costs you pennies on the dollar, and the prospective outcome of this is going to be massively huge, right? I mean, you're only going to go after somebody who can shine a giant spotlight on you in front of thousands of people, right, who will go anywhere he tells them to go on his word. So what if you just did favors for people and said, hey, I just took the liberty of taking your article and turning it into a video, SlideShare, Pinterest, blah, 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 infographic and everything else. And here it is. I didn't want to, you know, put it out there for you. I wanted you to see what it looked like and everything. Here's the whole package. Just wanted to say thanks because I've learned so much from you over the years and blah, 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 blah. And I send people to you all the time. And, you know, there you go. What a great icebreaker, right? Is that a good use of an outsourcer?
Yeah. Yeah, you can have an outsourcer do that. You know, that's a great method of garnering relationships in the industry and getting yourself noticed. It's like, you know, I did a teleseminar series for David Fry. Remember, he did a couple of years back, and on various topics. One of them was on outsourcing, and so I did an hour call with him. And at the end, he sent me sent out cards, brownies, and you know, just that was a classy move. You know, it was just it stuck out in my mind. So you definitely want to be sticking out in people's mind, getting it on their radar. Making video emails is a good thing, and even with all the video that we hear, still people are not doing video emails. And that was when I launched my thing in 2009 or 2010, I had a video email that I would send out and links, you know, a template with buttons and links that would give instead of sending them to a JV page. I sort of had, you know, everything like in this video template, and this way, you know, if they didn't get to know me, there was a way. I had a little bio video. I had, you know, was a great way of doing it and standing out. That's why the outsourcer persona made me stand out. Everybody would remember that. You know, it wasn't on this necessarily on the strength of my content as it was on the personal brand. It was entertainment. People want to be entertained, you know. That's part of it too. It's edutainment, you know, as the phrase goes. So, and some of that you could outsource, and some of that you obviously got to do yourself. But when it comes to the mechanics of promotion and getting it out there, yeah, the outsourcer would definitely be a good piece of that puzzle, and repurposing your content and creating all this stuff for you to make overtures to affiliates or major affiliates or JV partners, strategic partnerships. You know, people forget, okay, if I have this idea, I need somebody that has a big list, I need traffic, I need this, I need that. You know, all of that stuff you could find people that have. Now you just have to create a deal, make it like what's in it for them. And, you know, you can get creative. You can give them a part of the deal. You can pay them. You could, you could do all kinds of things. So so that's another way of, you know, leveraging relationships, leveraging other people's lists, leveraging their authority, you know, the whole interview product thing was leveraging associations, you know, leveraging other people's authority. And
I love that. I love the idea of thinking in terms of everything you need to have done in-house for yourself. One of the other things that you need done for yourself that could be helped by your outsourcing team or your person is that leveraging stuff. Like, how do I get in front of people just right now? I don't care about what I'm going to be doing in 2 years. I don't want to build something for 2 years to get it to the point that it's going to be making all my goals, or 6 months even. Why wait if you can do it now? A lot of people would like to have their six-month goal happen in 2 months or 1 month, you know, or in a couple of weeks. I mean, it only takes one dude to mention you. One of the things that I always tell about is one of the biggest successes of the Authority Black Book that I wrote in 2007 and 2008 was, one, I gave it away for free and everybody else was selling. Social media stuff was not for free then. It was so new and everybody wanted to know how to use it to make a bunch of money, get a bunch of big lists and all that. There was no need to give anything away. Everybody was willing to buy anything, but I gave mine away and kind of gutted the market right off the bat and made some enemies, but you know, you're gonna get a couple of eggshells in your mix when you're making breakfast. And the other thing that made it was John Reese. He just picked it up and mailed for it. He thought it was such a neat resource, and I had built such a relationship with him over the years. It was still a surprise to me because I was telling everybody how they could get an affiliate link, and if they give it away, they'd make an affiliate commission. That anybody would just pick it up, especially from the internet marketing niche, because we're the ones who invented affiliate marketing. You know, we don't go anywhere without an affiliate link, right? We don't recommend anything without an affiliate link. John Reese picked it up to his giant, giant list, which was still fresh, hot, and frothy from his million-dollar day, and just mailed it and said, you guys ought to download this. And he did it because it made him look good, because he knew it was a really badass resource. And he knew that his list needed content. Even all the way back then, he had a sense that if I keep mailing my list stuff to buy, they're going to stop listening at some point. And he probably had maybe even gotten to that point a little bit, and he wanted to keep his list fresh. So he picked up the book and just mailed the direct link for it. He didn't even put it in a tracker to see how many people went. 50,000 downloads later of that book, I turned that list into a $750,000 sale that fall. Of a high-end product that I was selling. So his little favor, plus all of the other attention that was garnered through it and everything, all of that combined, giving away something free was, you know, I mean, you could use outsourcers to help to ingratiate you in that way to people in your niche. They don't cost hardly anything, right? And if they're going to be doing work for you, make sure that the work they're doing for you, isn't it important that as soon as you hire them, you know what part of what they're going to be doing is going to help pay for themselves, right?
Yes. Now, I mean, that said, you know, a lot of people in the outsourcing niche still push the $2 an hour outsourcer from the Philippines, and you know, you're only going to get so much skills out of $2 outsourcing. Yes, they make, you know, the cost of living is less, and there's, you know, the geo arbitrage thing.
We're not talking about that kind of outsourcing.
Right. You gotta outsource up. Okay. If you need copy done, or you need a really good logo or something like that beyond your skill set, you gotta hire somebody that can do it better than you, and sometimes you got to pay more for that. And you know, if you're having someone doing your pay per click or doing your social media, you know, you got to pay more than $2 an hour. I'm sorry, you know, you just it's going to cost you more. You know, and if you're doing a WordPress plugin or some sort of software, you don't want to just hire any coder that is going to, you know, maybe A, steal your idea, B, not be around to support your product when it breaks. So you need to pay more. You know, so the whole $2 thing is okay for, you know, basic stuff to put up your blog and, you know, whatever. But if you need them to be an integral part of your team, you need to pay more. It's going to cost you more.
Yeah.
I think people's
ideas on what is cheap and what's expensive, mine have changed because I've had American workers for everything you can possibly think of. So I know what the difference between them and the amount of money they need and a really good outsourcer like you're talking about. And it's a quarter to a half of what I'd have to pay somebody down the street to do it just because they're in the borders of the United States. So that's the kind of outsourcer I'm talking about, and that's why I consider them cheap because I know what the difference is. Most people never even go there, right? So they don't have a frame of reference. So they get a little excited about that idea of $2 or $3 an hour, and you got to make sure you don't let yourself believe that you're going to get very much for that.
Right. Now the way I've structured my business is I have a VA, an assistant that will sort of almost like a project manager, you know, so she will help manage some of the projects and manage the other outsourcers.
I wanted to get to that. So I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Yeah,
this makes everything different.
Right. You have a key person, and then they can take whatever you need, and they'll go to Fiverr for you. They'll go to Odesk, Upwork for you, and you know. So there's there's the services. So you're hiring services for things. You know, maybe it's social signals for your website or something. Maybe you need a design for product, you know, so you need a whole set of graphics and all that stuff. So, you know, there's things that you could do on Fiverr, things that you need, you know, other. You can get some great stuff on Fiverr. That's really a game changer in the outsourcing world when Fiverr came along. But you still wind up having to, and this is what I advise people, is even when you're using stuff like Fiverr, if you want a logo done, hire 3 or 4 people to do the job, okay? So it costs you $20 instead of $5. But if you have 4 people working on your same project, you know, you've increased the odds you're going to get something that's usable. You know, if you do one at a time.
We just had somebody going through that. Yeah, she was kind of bound to the guy after a while because they'd gone back and forth on a design for a logo for a bunch, you know, she didn't go to anybody else and he just kept sucking but kept saying he'll do better. And she wasted, you know, some considerable time going back and forth with somebody that, you know, she would have done better. She went to 99 Designs and that's where you let everybody fight for it. And you got a whole bunch of people coming in. It's the same concept that you're talking about. Get more people involved. If it's super cheap like that, you can certainly afford it, right?
Yeah, well, 99 Designs isn't necessarily cheap, you know.
99 Designs is not, no.
No. Crowdsourcing is another new thing that, you know, in the last few years that has changed the face of the outsourcing rather than, you know, in particular in graphics, you know, if you want to, a logo, you know, you hire one designer, you're going to get, you know, 3 or 4 options, you know, concepts or something. But, you know, it's coming out of one person's brain. So it's only, you know, you're limiting yourself where you put it on a site like 99 Designs now. And if you pay enough, you'll get a lot of people doing the work for you on spec. You can get some incredible designs that you never would have thought of, or you wouldn't have gotten out of one person. So if it's a personal brand or something that's an important thing, go to 99 Designs. Definitely they will be able to do a great job on that. There's all kinds of, you know, there's crowdsourcing for music. You know, we haven't talked about music yet.
We're going to get in trouble if we don't talk about music.
I just came across a site last night where it's a crowdsourcing site for music, and people want jingles, or they want a first dance for their wedding, or they want a song for background music for their product or whatever it is, and you know, people are bidding on it and submitting, you know, their music for you. So crowdsourcing is another major trend in outsourcing that is a great tool in the arsenal.
Let's get back to the main person, because I think this is a really important point. Because I honestly, full disclosure, never got the outsourcing thing down until I figured this out. And that's when you were just getting ready to talk about getting your main person, your project coordinator, I like to call my right-hand person, who I can go to about all kinds of things. Because here's the thing. You can go to Fiverr, and the time you're going to spend going back and forth on email with that person at Fiverr makes you start immediately to think, I could have done this myself. It would have been crappier. It would have been, but I would have had it by now, and I could launch right now instead of going back and forth. There's a lot of work to organizing outsourcers, right?
Yeah.
Can you expand a bit on how you use that main person, your project coordinator, or whatever you call them, to have them go out and haggle with people on Fiverr and all this other stuff? Because that does take time just to manage all that junk. And you don't really feel like you're getting that much out of outsourcing when you have to do that stuff still.
Yes. All right. Well, here's having a project manager or a VA to sort of handle and organize the details, the little minutiae of your online business, because let's face it, there's a lot of minutiae in an online business. And it's really helpful to have somebody. You talked about an example. Going back several years, it was like in September, October, and I decided, Amazon, you know, Christmas is coming, and you can put up all these little Amazon sites, and, you know, you can get them ranked, and you can make Amazon commissions, and, you know, you want to get it all done for holidays. So I hired like six people to create all these websites. You know, I had a model I wanted them to follow and a method I wanted them to follow, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, in the Philippines, they're the opposite time zone. So here I am in the middle of the night. I've got six Yahoo Messenger screens up on my monitor. I only had one monitor at the time, right? And I'm trying to communicate and keep track of each person's project and where they're at and where they're having trouble. It was a nightmare. And so I realized, I need somebody, you know, I need somebody to manage all this crap. And so they needed to have project management skills. And this way I could sort of direct them and they can handle the minutiae. And so that's what I did. Now, to get somebody with that skill set, you have to pay more. You know, you're going to...
What are you talking? Give me a range. Well, what do you think?
If you're getting someone from the Philippines, you could pay them, you know, in the range of $10 an hour, which is a lot for the Philippines. But if you're talking, you know, somebody who's actually U.S.-based, experienced marketer, you're going to need to pay more, like, you know, $25 an hour. And there's some VAs that can charge $50 an hour, you know, so it depends on what you need, but you're going to need a person with skill set. Otherwise, you know, if you try to get by on the cheap, you know, you get what you pay for the most part. And, you know, you're only going to find out, they couldn't really do this, and they couldn't, you know, because they're going to have to make some decisions. They can't be calling you all the time or emailing you all the time. Oh, what should I do here?
Right.
What should I do there? You know, so the more you pay, the more you're going to get. I talk to people I know, friends I know, and they have their own, you know, websites and marketing that they do, and they're working for more advanced, you know, gurus, and they pay them well. You know, now you're talking, you know, you know, six-figure salary kind of thing, which right. is beyond what most people need at this point. But, you know, you got to assess the skills. You're going to pay, you know, somewhere in the $25 to $50 an hour. And that doesn't mean you hire them full-time. You can have them do, you know, 5 to 10 hours a week to start. You could share somebody with other marketer friends of yours. You know, you can say, hey, I got this great guy, but I can't afford to pay him a full-time job. Do you want to, share his services, split the costs? So that's another way of leveraging, you know, talent, but including other people in there. So right. that might be a route you can take. But you need somebody that can do project management. Some people need, like, a secretary, and they'll make appointments, and they'll follow up, and, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't have that kind of business. It's more of a project management kind of business.
Right.
But they need, you need to be able to communicate.
They have to be taken care of enough to be able to be comfortable and happy and dedicated 100% to the work that you've hired them for. Even if it's part-time and you help them get to full-time by sharing with somebody else, they're not trying to figure out how they're going to pay all their bills and everything else, and then they start skimping on their work, even if they're really good. Everybody can go through that. Every human being, no matter how good and dedicated and loyal you are, if you have problems making ends meet, you're going to be distracted and your work is going to suffer from it. So everybody should realize that, you know, Filipinos or anybody else are no different whatsoever. And so if you try to skimp them, they're, you know, it's going to have an effect on the kind of work that, and their readiness. If you need something, somebody you can go to in an emergency and say, drop what you're doing, I need you to do this. Well, if what they were doing was for somebody else who's paying them, they can't just drop it, especially if they're already on deadline. If they're your person, the thing they're dropping is whatever else you had them doing. So you can make that choice and go drop that, pick this up, and let's go. We got to do this thing because it's really important. And that could be something like the leverage stuff we talked about before. So-and-so loved what we did for them. They want me to be on a webinar, and they want me to mail to be on that webinar too. So I need to be on, okay, I got to get the mailer up. Wait a minute, I'll just tell her or him and, you know, drop what you're doing right now. Get this mail out right now. I got to go do some other stuff because you need some slides for this webinar, and I got to put those together. Or I got to rearrange the ones you made for me so they fit this webinar. You're going to need stuff like that. Success comes with those kinds of things. And you need somebody who is your right-hand person who can understand immediately what you need done, already has all the logins to everything, can go take the email and put it in there and send it out with your instructions in shorthand without having to go over, I don't know where the login is because I'm just a part-time person and I wouldn't care to, you know, keep track of that. So it's really, really important to have a person like that.
In bonus, then, if you make a nice chunk of change on a product launch, you take care of them with that.
Absolutely, because they had a lot to do with it. If you're using them right, they had a lot to do with the success of it, so they should get a piece of it.
Yeah, you want somebody I remember John Reese saying this when he was talking about outsource force and whatnot. It's like he wants to be able to, like, be sitting on a lounge chair. He gets an idea for something. He can call up his VA, his project manager, and say, here's the idea, here's what I want to do, blah, 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 do it. And then, like, you know, a couple of days later, okay, it's done, take a look at it.
Right.
You have very little input into it. You know, you don't have to micromanage them. They can pretty much run with the project.
Right. And what a great feeling. Can you describe that for people so they can feel what that's like? Because there's all those things that we talked about already today that's got people listening who haven't done outsourcing yet or VAs or anything like that. Maybe a little bit nervous still, but let's give them a picture of what it looks like on the other side, because they should be very, very excited about this stuff, not hesitant about it. And there will be some things to set up and some, you know, hurdles to jump and things, but once you have this set up, what's it feel like, Howard, to have all of this at your fingertips and have your business where there's people you can really count on? You can just give them a call or drop them a Skype and say, this needs to be done, and you can go, and you know while you're out that it is getting done. What's that feel like?
It's a feeling of freedom, because I've been on the side of having to do it myself, and I've been on the side of not outsourcing correctly and hiring people that really couldn't do the job, and you know, losing time, losing money, so I've been through all the, you know, I've paid my dues, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's worth it coming out the other time, because, you know, part of the allure of internet marketing is, you know, the quote, the internet lifestyle, which, you know, by the way, I don't know anybody that just totally can just, you know, sit on a beach and with a laptop and work, you know, an hour a day or the 4-hour work week or whatever it is. You know, most successful online entrepreneurs work pretty hard. And they put in a lot of hours. That said, you know, they're doing things, you reach a point where you can do things that you enjoy doing, things that are more bigger picture, strategic, marketing. You're not in the weeds doing, you know, figuring out what WordPress theme to use, and, you know.
You may be busy, but you're not necessarily categorizing what you're doing as work.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are marketers, a whole boatload of them, literally, somewhere out in the Caribbean right now, who work hard.
Right.
If you look at it in that way, but they're working right now on a boat in the middle of the Caribbean. They're making the deals that we talked about earlier.
Yes.
That only
yes.
you should be doing. They're doing all that kind of stuff. I mean, nobody literally goes to the marketers' cruise unless they've got a few million in the bank already. And even so, they're not even just sitting on the boats sipping Mai Tais or whatever. If somebody comes up to them and says they got something for them, they're all ears and they will work that day. But they're
yeah.
not stuck back at home making, you know, gifts they could get for $5 off of Fiverr. They're they're doing
right.
the right stuff. And if you're in the right business that really turns you on, it's going to be really hard to say what you do is work, even though you stay very busy. I think, you know, we have to stay busy. We can't just become little slugs and
yeah.
lay on the floor. You know, we have to do something. If we're interested in it, it's easy, because then we don't even think we're working.
Yeah, and we have to keep on top of the changes. You know, now we've got, you know, Periscope and Facebook Live video, and, you know, there's always something changing. Every month or so, there's always major changes going on. So you just can't just sit on your laurels, and what worked even 6 months ago is going to change. There's new tools out,
right.
there's new techniques, people get burnt out, they get, you know, on certain methods, and, you know, so you've got to change. Somebody has to be at the helm strategically guiding the ship, and you need the hired hands, your team, to help you with all that. There's a lot going on, but you got to work your way up to it. You know, you'll first out task, which is like the Fiverr kind of thing, where you'll get some banners made, or you'll get some, you know, a link package or whatever, and then but you got to decide strategically which is the correct thing. You don't want to send, you know, 10,000 links to your brand new website, because you're only going to get it, you're going to hurt it. So you got to strategically understand what works, so that you can guide your team. And eventually you'll have someone in a key position that will do that for you as well. You'll just say, okay, launch a site about this. And they can take that idea and they can run with it with all the parts and pieces. You know, get the copy done, the graphics, the throw up the websites, create the funnel, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but that comes with time. So
right.
You know, when you're hiring
which
someone
is,
and get well, let me just finish the point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, when you're really finding your superstars, you can. I tell people, you know, hire 10 people, give them a trial task that's similar to what you want done, and then you'll find that one person who's going to be do it great, do it on time. Do it, you know, be able to communicate with you, whatever. You know, you're going to have people that are going to just flake out and not even, you know, not even accomplish the trial task that you did. And if I can direct people towards to download a PDF on finding their superstar outsourcers, they can go to virtualteamcoach.com and you just sign up and you'll get the PDF. Where this is not PLR, this is something I wrote, you know, myself out of the years of experience on how to get your superstar guys.
That's what I wanted. I wanted that URL. Give it to them one more time.
It's virtualteamcoach.com, and opt in, get the PDF, and it's a great PDF. So it really help you on your building your team.
So if we did our job today, everybody would be wanting some more information, and there you go. So because I think we should have wetted some whistles today. I think we really should have. I think sometimes people get going along and they don't know that it's time to be making a change to another stage and another era of their business. You know, because you get so down in the details and everything for so long, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm making this much now, and I should have said, if I didn't say in the beginning, that once I had that, I would get my first VA, and I would get myself out of some of these drudgery tasks and be able to expand more. That might be time for you. So check out Howard, virtualteamcoach.com, right?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being
here
today.
Guys.
I think we did it.
Yeah, I think so.
I think
well,
you did as well.
Having me.
Thanks, Howard. Always good to connect.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see you at one of the next events coming up. And
I look forward,
you know, look
to,
forward
it.
To it. All right. Sounds great. All right, Gina, Jack, thanks a lot. Take care, guys. I'll see you soon.
Bye,
you
everybody.
Too. Bye-bye.
And Jack and
bye-bye.
I will be back for our next episode of Traffic Masters. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Traffic Masters, from traffic to conversion to business success.